Welcome back to Giants.com, and it's time for yet another edition of the Preview Report. It's all brought to you by New Era. I'm John Schmelk. It's the 5-7 New York Giants taking on another 5-7 team, the San Diego Chargers out there in San Diego. I know what you're thinking. San Diego, 75, 80 degrees and sunny. Well, not on Sunday. It's going to be about 60 degrees at game time, but certainly better conditions than we've had in the very windy MetLife Stadium just a few weeks ago. Let's take a look at the injury report. The Giants are getting healthier, but there are some guys not going to play in this game. JPP is out. Corey Webster is out. Brandon Jacobs is doubtful, probably not going to play in this game, but Tremaine McBride and Terrell Thomas both look like they're probably going to go on Sunday. Now it's time to break down the game, and to do it, we are joined by the one and only Paul Dottino, beat reporter for WFN, of course a contributor to all things New York Giants media. Paul, are you ready for a six-hour flight out to sunny, or not-so-sunny, actually, San Diego?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, John. People say that the actual action in a football game isn't very much compared to the length of the game. Well, how about compared to the length of our trip?
You'll have to find another time to work on your tan, Mr. Dottino.
Exactly.
Well, let's get to the game, and the Giants have a very formidable task taking on this San Diego Chargers offense. Now, when you watch the game on Sunday, folks, it's going to look somewhat familiar to you, and that's because of the Chargers head coach, Mike McCoy, was the defensive coordinator in Denver. They run a lot of the same stuff.
Well, they do. He has decided that he was going to not only simplify a lot of stuff, but make sure he took a lot of the risk factor out. And that's really what the Chargers have tried to do this year. The bad news for them is that they have won only one of their last five games, and they are 5-7 overall.
And that offense has made things a lot easier for Phillip Rivers, who's having one of the best seasons of his career. Giants linebacker John Beason is very impressed.
Well, he's a seasoned vet. You know, he's got great weapons around him, but he's a gamer, man. You know, he's a gunslinger. I love his game. He's a great person. And, you know, you look at the numbers, you know, they're number two in the league in third down conversions. Well, that's the money down. That's what we call it because, you know, this is how you either get off the field or you extend drives and get points. And they have some big wins in the division against Philly and Dallas. So, you know, our hands cut out for us, but we know that it's on us this week. We got to stop their offense because that's what makes them go.
And, Paul, you could make the argument Phillip Rivers is having the second-best season of any quarterback in football this year. Nearly three times as many touchdowns as he has interceptions, 70% completion percentage, and he's thrown to five different receivers who have more than 33 receptions.
Well, John, it looks like he's going to go to his fifth Pro Bowl. That's pretty obvious at this point. And the thing is, he's only been sacked 22 times, which is the fourth fewest in the NFL. Now, that's not a great offensive line.
And by the way, that's an offensive line that's had 16 different combinations this year.
They're not great, but again, it's a low-risk offense. They're asking him to get rid of the ball quickly. They're running a lot of short stuff, a lot of crossing routes and things of that nature. And because they've taken away some of that Favre gunslinger mentality of Rivers, he's only got 9 picks.
And one of the guys they're throwing to with a lot of that short stuff is running back Danny Woodhead. He leads all NFL running backs in receptions and receiving yards. Giants defensive lineman Justin Tuck knows a big key for the Giants' success on Sunday is stopping Danny Woodhead.
I don't want to call him a gnat, but he's been throwing in a lot of guys aside. You know, running the ball and catching out of the backfield. They use him a lot, and he's a huge part of their offense, and we're going to have our hands full trying to, you know, neutralize their weapon.
And, Paul, Danny Woodhead's kind of the third down utility back. We mentioned all the receptions. But Ryan Matthews, very quietly, 13th leading rusher in the league. He's going to go for 1,000 yards, barring an injury. They still like to run the football up there in San Diego.
Well, they do. He's got nearly 800 yards rushing on the season. And, you know, he's got some power to his game. He is a between-the-tackles guy. And quite honestly, when you look at him, you know, he doesn't look as impressive as he might be. But the truth is, by the time he gets up off the ground, he winds up with 4-plus yards per carry.
And Woodhead's a huge weapon in the passing game.
And Woodhead, the thing about him, and people just remember him from the Jets, 5'8", 200 pounds, and he runs a 4'4". You see, he's just so quick and deceptive. And so not only does he have those 61 catches and 5 touchdown receptions, you know what, John? He's also run for over 250 yards and run for a couple of touchdowns, too.
No doubt about it. The Giants' defensive line will have to be on their P's and Q's and the linebacking core to slow down Danny Woodhead. Now, the Chargers are also going to be concerned with the Giants' running game. We'll see if Brandon Jacobs can go. Probably not, but maybe he can. You'll have Peyton Hillis and Andre Brown if Jacobs can't go. But when Brandon took a look at the tape, he was very impressed with the big guys on the Chargers' defensive line.
I think San Diego, you know, they're physical. Some big boys that can move very well up front. They got two nice edge rushers as well that I don't think get enough credit. You know, and they got some solid linebackers. And, you know, they play good football. You know, it's a team that we're not too familiar with because we haven't, you know, we haven't played them. I've only played them twice in my career. So, you know, it's a team that we're not as familiar with. But we got to go in and take this week and study and see what they like to do.
Paul, they run that 3-4 defense. They have a couple big defensive linemen. But three of their top outside linebackers, who would have been their best pass rushers, are either on IR or PUP. Their defense has struggled up front in terms of getting to the quarterback and in terms of stopping the run.
Yeah, actually, legit along the defensive line is probably their best pass rusher right now.
Reyes is okay, too, at the other end spot.
But
nothing
not,
special.
No, nothing to really make you tremble. Let's put it that way. And quite frankly, Monte Teo, who's been at middle linebacker for them in his rookie season, was banged up earlier. He's back in there, but he hasn't exactly been very dominant, you know, either. So, to be honest with you folks, it's not a very forceful front seven. It's a front seven that you can run on. They're giving up 4.9 yards per carry, which is 31st in the National Football League, and 10 rushing touchdowns.
And in order to compensate for those lack of pass rushers, they have to run a lot of games. They run a lot of different blitz packages, something offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride says the Giants' offensive line has to be aware of.
It's a very well-disguised, I guess that's the best way. You know, it's camouflaged well. You know, normally you say, okay, they're over here. All right, we can make an adjustment to our protection to handle something. Okay, they're over here. But they do a terrific job of disguising it. So really, you come into the game, you got to go in saying, you know what, I'm going to have to throw some hots and I'm going to have to throw some sights, which is not a bad thing. But normally we are able to adjust the protections. Eli has done a good job of studying, and he's able to, you know, take the tools that we have available for him and solve most protection problems.
And, Paul, in addition to that pass rush, the Chargers were hoping to have a lot of help in the secondary this year, but their big free agent acquisition in the offseason, Derek Cox from Jacksonville, he was benched. Now he was inactive even last week.
Right.
Richard Marshall heads into the starting lineup. Eric Weddle's their best player at safety in that back four, but another game where the Giants, you feel like on paper, they should be able to make some plays through the air.
You would think so. Marshall, the journeyman who used to play with the Panthers for a number of years. The thing that you want to talk about when you look at this Chargers secondary is that they're all relatively small. Nobody is over 5'10 amongst the starters back there. So they're not very, very big. And quite frankly, they're not great hitters, and they're not very good tacklers. That also applies to their front seven, John. A lot of missed tackles when you look at the films of the Chargers this year, and that is one of the reasons why this defense is near the bottom five or six in almost every key category.
Paul, finally, your one key to victory for the Giants on Sunday.
Well, I think the Giants got to run the ball. I mean, to me, the Chargers are the Dallas Cowboys of the AFC. They've got a very potent passing game with some very good skill position players. They've got a pretty decent running game, but not a whole lot on the other side of the ball defensively. So I think the Giants need to try to run for 200 yards like they did against Dallas a couple of weeks ago.
And they're even lacking some of those individual players that Dallas has, like a Jason Hatcher or a DeMarcus Ware. They don't even have individuals of that caliber. So, Paul, I agree. The Giants' offense is going to have to put up some points in this game because even if the Giants' defense plays well, they only give up 20, 21 points. You figure the Chargers will get to 20. They're that talented.
Yeah.
This offense is going to probably have to get to 24 to win this game.
I could very easily see that. But, again, the Chargers have been giving up a lot of those kinds of points.
Well, remember, last week they couldn't score against Cincinnati. They had three turnovers in the Bengals zone. So the Giants will try to force some turnovers today as well. Paul, we appreciate the time as always.
All right, John. Good to see
you. For Paul Dottino, I am John Schmelk. That's another edition of the Preview Report. It's all the time we have on Giants.com. Enjoy the game on Sunday, everybody. Preview Report is brought to you by New Era. Speak with your cap. Get the New Era on-field 5950 cap today.